Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And today we're going to be taking a look at scriptures in the Gospel of John. And as I've been saying over the last several weeks, there's power to change a life for eternity in the message of the good news, or what we often call the gospel. You see, the kingdom is represented by Jesus Christ, and he is the king. That's why we call it the kingdom. And also we have to include the finished work at the cross of Calvary. Now listen, any message that does not focus on Jesus is not a gospel message. Now to be sure, we need to be taught how to live as a Christian, but unless one is born again, that life will not bear eternal fruit. Now the gospel is the good news provided by God. He has provided free spiritual gifts to restore or to reconcile us into a personal relationship with him. You see, God's plan is good news because God has done all of the work. God has provided the perfect sacrifice for our sin and our sinful life in the person of Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his love for us by sending the Lamb of God, Jesus, in our place, to the cross of Calvary. That one act by Jesus accomplished the following. Number one, forgiveness of our sins, thus eliminating the guilt and shame that we often find in our lives. Also, the restoration of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We're one with God. And thirdly, granting believers eternal life. You see, when we die, that's not the end, because we will experience a resurrection and the beginning of a glorious life in heaven with the Lord. And finally, God has given us his Holy Spirit to be a comforter, to be a helper, and to be a teacher, to be successful as Christians in this life today. Now, when a person comes to a place where they believe that the above statements that I've just made, then they are experiencing faith in Jesus. This faith in Jesus is what makes a person born again. Ephesians 2:8 says the following, "For by grace," that's a gift, "for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's not anything you did. "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, as a born-again believer, a miraculous thing happens. The Holy Spirit comes to live in them, live in us, and we become a child of God, a member of God's family. Now, when we talk about God's family, we often use the word church. All people, past, present, and future, who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, belong to something that Jesus called the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it literally means the called out ones. You see, as believers, we've been called out of the world, and we're now part of the kingdom of God. Being called out means that you now have a purpose in God, and he sees you as righteous and holy. Now, there's a spiritual church, and there's also a physical church. The difference between the two is that the spiritual church is made up of individuals around the world who are born again. They have had an encounter with Jesus. On the other hand, the physical church is made up of people who go to church, and they identify as being Christians, but they've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of their lives. You know, they may be consistent churchgoers. They may read the word. They may do good works, but they've never made that decision. Now, I want to take a moment to distinguish between what I call generational Christians and encounter Christian. A generational Christian is one who was raised in a Christian family, perhaps came from a long line of Christians. They may have been raised in the church and identify as Christians because they've not known anything else. However, they've never had a moment in time where they decided to say yes to Jesus in all that he offers and requires. In other words, they've never had an encounter with Jesus. Let me tell you a story. When I was pastoring, I had a woman, she was about 65 years old, join our church. She came from another church. And she came from a long line of Christian families, as she had been a churchgoer all of her life. She even served as a Sunday school teacher. But when she came to our church, she heard the gospel for the first time, and she gave her life to Jesus. And I remember her saying, through tears, "How could I not have heard what Jesus did for me until now?" You see, she heard the gospel and decided to follow Jesus. She had an encounter with the Lord. Her life was changed. And I say all of this to emphasize the power of the gospel to change lives forever. Now, we've been looking at the I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John. There are seven of them. And today we're going to take a look at two more. And the first one is Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." That's John 10:7. And then a little later, he says, "I am the good shepherd." He says that in John 10:11 and also in verse 14. Now, we know from previous messages that the I am is a direct association with the name of God. Some believe that entry into eternal life is open to everyone. They take the position that there are many roads to God, or they can't believe that God would ever condemn anyone, a loving God. But obviously, they've not read God's word, because it is apparent in the Bible that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Everyone has a choice. Then there are those who believe that entry into heaven and eternal life is obtained by being good. First of all, there is only one who is good. There's a parable about a rich young ruler who approached Jesus, and he asked the question in Luke 18:18. And it says, "Now a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And so Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God.'" You see, only God is good. Now I know this begs the question, how good is good enough to get into heaven? Recall the scriptures about the woman caught in adultery. That you find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Remember, the pious religious leaders wanted to see what Jesus would say about the adulterous woman. And so beginning in verse 7, "So when they continued asking him," meaning Jesus, "he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but that woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?'" You see, the point here is that the religious leaders recognize that they were not perfect or good enough to judge this woman. In the same way, no one is good enough to deserve or earn salvation in heaven. Now, you may be able to think of somebody in your life or someone that you've heard of that has been so loving and kind and pious. They've just expended their life on good service. And you might think, they must be good enough. But sadly, the answer is no. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It doesn't say not that some have sinned, but it says, "But all have sinned." However, Jesus, the perfect one, purchased our salvation and offers that salvation as a gift if we will simply believe in him and that he is the only way to the Father. And there is only way into the kingdom of God. In John 10, verses 1 through 6, Jesus is speaking to the people about the kingdom of God and the fact that there is only one way into the kingdom, and that it's through him. Only Jesus can enter through the gates of heaven and those who follow him. Others may claim to know the way and try to lead to a different way, but the doorkeeper of heaven will only open the gate to Jesus and those who are following him. Jesus clarifies this statement by saying in John 10:7, "I am the door of the sheep." Jesus uses this as a metaphor to show that it is only through him that we're the believers, we are the sheep, that we're the only ones that can follow him and gain entrance into the kingdom of God. His sheep, the scripture says, hear his voice, that's the encounter, and they follow. And they'll also be able to discern the voice of the thief, Satan, and they run away. Jesus warns us that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then he goes to say, "But I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly." That was John 10:10. You see, Jesus is making the promise that if you follow him, you will experience the abundant life. Then in John 10, 11, and also in 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Then Jesus says again, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." No one ever accidentally gets to heaven. Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life on the cross of Calvary for our sins and offers us his salvation to everyone who will simply trust him. And I want you to think about this. And if he's willing to give his life, how much more shall he provide for us, as it says in Romans 8:31? It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I know that when we rejoice when we say that we know Jesus, but how much more we should rejoice that we are known by him. Galatians 4:9 says, "As the shepherd of our lives, Jesus is committed to caring and watching over those who are his. He has taken on the responsibility to provide for the health, the welfare, and the maintenance and the protection of his flock." When you think of what an actual shepherd does, well, number one, he values his flock. Every sheep, everyone in the flock is important to him. And number two, he's willing to lay down his life to protect the sheep. Just a reminder, you do have an enemy. Remember, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. However, you have the victory because Jesus defeated the enemy of our soul. Number three, the shepherd is involved certainly with the spiritual for us as human beings, but also the emotional and physical health of his flock. Jesus is the healer, and he has a solution for all of your needs. Let me encourage you with these closing statements. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." What's Jesus saying? You can't lose your salvation like losing your wallet or losing a watch. You are his, and he is yours. No one can take your salvation away from Jesus. So walk as one who is secure in that knowledge of what Jesus has done, and know that nothing can separate you from his love. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, God loves you. And then it goes on to say, for I am persuaded, this is Paul speaking, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, that is a promise. God loves you. And because he loves you, he wants to pour out his blessings over your life. But in order for him to do that, you have to walk with him. You have to walk with him. You have to be aware of him. You have to acknowledge him in your everyday life. And so let me just take a moment to pray a blessing, Heavenly Father, right now. Lord, that every listener, every person who's watching, Lord, that if they have not had an encounter with you, that they would make a decision right now. They would say, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. But I also know that because of what Jesus did for me, I am forgiven. And I welcome your Holy Spirit into my life to change me from the inside out, so that I could become the man or the woman that you could use in a powerful, a mighty way on this earth today. And that I would have the assurance and the confidence that one day I will experience heaven with you. And if you've said that prayer, then I just want to encourage you. You have had an encounter with God. God bless you. God bless your family. And if you're in the ministry, may God richly bless your ministry as you preach the gospel, the message that has power to change lives. Again, God bless you. I look forward to seeing you the next time. Amen.